The following was at the Baltimore meeting, the third Sunday in July 1900. And
Thank you.
have been concerned somewhat this morning, as I have perhaps for a week, a little more than a week ago, when I was called upon to have a funeral. And I felt, as I spoke, that there were very few people there in that congregation that knew what I was talking about. Somehow I forcibly felt that. Because then when we listen to the radio and television and so forth, we find many, many people believing things that are contrary to the scriptures. And I remember that there was a scripture that said all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it is possible for doctrine, reproof, so forth, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I have felt for many years a desire that I might show the difference between the doctrine of God our Savior, which is the doctrine of that God delivered unto his Son and his Son unto his people. But I find that there are so many that call themselves Christians that take the very same scriptures that are delivered unto the Lord's people and teaching them through his Spirit the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But they have a way of using just what they want to use and forgetting all about all the rest of them. Now, all scriptures I quoted given by inspiration of God, and they're profitable, as we quoted. But all the scriptures that we have and that they are referring to are the things that God delivered unto his people and taught them the truth as it is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so I am very particular, if the Lord would bless me, to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I'm not interested in any other faith or any other doctrine, because I judge and I feel it to be the truth that all the things that were applicable to the saints of God in days of old, and they are still applicable to the Lord's people in this day and time. So that if we are blessed to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, then all is well. But if they turn around and preach something else and call it the doctrine of God our Savior, that's something else again. Now let us look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we come this morning with fear and trembling, knowing that thou art the only true and the living God, and that we are what we are by thy grace, knowing nothing except what thou hast revealed unto us, but desiring, as we under hope thou hast implanted in our hearts, desiring that we might contend earnestly for those things that thou hast delivered in days past unto thy children, and brought them to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Father, if it is thy will this morning to lead our minds and our hearts into those deep and mysterious matters which thou hast revealed unto thy people, that we should contend earnestly for that faith and not be concerned about what others may think or do, but rather praying unto thee that thou would reveal to us and enable us to contend for these things and not be concerned about what others may say or do, but rather that we might praise and adore and exalt thy great and holy name. O Lord, we know that it is by thy grace alone that thy people are what they are, so that we can echo thy servant and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So, Father, we pray thee, if it is thy will this morning, to be in our midst and to work mightily in our hearts, if it is thy will, that we might contend for these things and not be concerned about the things that people contend for, which are not according to godliness. But we are in thy hands, O Lord. We are dependent creatures upon thee. We have nothing in ourselves that we can depend upon. But we pray thee, Father, according to thy will, because we desire above all things else that thy will be done. We pray thee to lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that thou hast brought us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light. Father, thou knowest the thoughts, the hearts, the needs of every one of us that are here now bowed in thy presence. Wilt thou stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of the things that thou wast pleased to teach us, bringing us out of darkness and into thy marvelous light, and giving unto us those things which are the truth as they are in Christ Jesus, causing them to see what a wonderful and glorious God thou art, that hast given us things that are profitable unto us in our worship of thee. And thus thou dost to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. We realize that we cannot preach thy word. We cannot understand. We cannot rejoice. But, O Lord, how thou didst make us to rejoice in the days past when thou wast pleased to bring us out of darkness and into the marvelous light, when thou wast pleased to quicken us who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and made us to see and to know that we were dead, but giving us hope of eternal life, which thou who cannot lie promised before the world began. Lord, be with us, we pray thee. Have pity upon us, have mercy upon us, and give us grace each day, for we need thy grace every moment, every day of every year, to lead us and guide us. Keep us from falling by the wayside, O Lord, our God, if it is thy will, to give us grace, therefore, that we might contend earnestly for these things. Lord, may thy name have all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We thank for Jesus' sake. Amen. I believe I quoted that one of the Lord's servants said, in talking to his people, that he admonished them to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This once delivered to the saints means that God has sent forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people in every age of the world, not simply now and for the last 100 years, but every age of the world. The Father has sent forth his Spirit into the hearts of those people, those brethren, those that the Lord loves, and caused them to be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and making them to realize that thou who art the only true and the living God sent forth thy Son into the world as he that whom thou hadst given him before the world began, sent him forth into the world for the very specific purpose of redeeming thy people from all their sins and all their iniquities, teaching them to know that these things are not products of the carnal mind, not products of the things that we desire from a natural standpoint, but rather that thou hast sent forth thy Spirit in the hearts of thy people in every age of the world. And when the Father has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, then, my brethren and friends, we realize full well that he taught these brethren centuries ago, the brethren in this day and time, he taught them the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, unto him we desire to give the praise, the honor, and the glory as he opens up these wonderful and glorious and wonderful things to us. Now, God is an unchangeable God.
He does not teach one person one thing and another thing. He does not send forth his Spirit into the hearts of some, quickening them to know that they are sinners, but withholding from them the very reason why that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. And I like to add to that, as I said not long ago, and in the fullness thereof, because everything that was given, God given, he did it. God delivered it to his saints in days of old. Jesus said, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." And so, my brethren and friends, when God gave his Son, it was his eternal will and purpose to send him here into the world that he might redeem. God provided the way, the only way, that his people could be redeemed from all their sins and their iniquities. And he enabled holy men of old to write as he moved them. And they wrote things which were just exactly as God had delivered it to them. So that whatever we read in the scriptures and the Bible as we understand them, they're the very same things for the children of God in every age of the world. Now these things cannot be changed over. They cannot be added to, nor taken from. But all of these things are given by the inspiration of God. Every bit of them. He's an unchangeable God. And he has so fixed it that he has manifested his love before the world began in choosing his people in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. And therefore, he brings them out of that darkness that's in their nature and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Now, these things are addressed. All the scriptures are addressed solely to the household of faith. They're not addressed to just anybody and everybody. If they were addressed to anybody and everybody, it would be possible that those who were not blessed with the Spirit of God to change the meaning of them, to give their own interpretation of them, and therefore they would not believe the truth as it is laid down here in this book. But God knows his people. I'm so glad, my brethren, I referred to this not too long ago, maybe here, I don't know. I'm so glad that God loved his people. I'm so glad that he chose his people before the world began, not after the world began, but according to his eternal will and the purpose before the world began, he chose his people and he gave them to his Son. And he sent his Son here into the world for the specific purpose of redeeming all of those that the Father had loved and given to his Son Jesus Christ before the world began, and so that they, by the Spirit of God, they should be brought to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Have you ever thought, my friends and brethren, if it had not been for God delivering unto Moses and unto the prophets the truths as the Word in himself, did you ever think about we would not know the origin of this world? We would not know the origin of the children of God? But because if the Lord had not so fixed it, that he loved his people, chose his people before the world began, and fixed the way in the person of his Son, that they, who were sinners above measure, that they should be redeemed from all their sins and all their iniquities. Now there's only one way. Jesus here, remember, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now if we could, many people do add to that, that God wants us to be saved, that he wants everybody to be saved, and which is absolutely not true, because out of God, if he wanted, whatever he wants, he does. Men or devils cannot change his will. Men or devils can do nothing against him. But God loved his people. He didn't love the whole world. Jesus said, "I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out of the world." This is the doctrine, my brethren, I preach. This is a doctrine I've been trying to contend for, as I hope sometimes been given the liberty of the Spirit to talk about these wonderful, glorious things, that God loved his people. He didn't love everybody, but everybody today who claims to be a Christian, who claims to be a child of God, doing God's service, they have twisted things around so that they say that God needs the men and women should go all over the world and seek out those that are of the Adam family and to bring them to the knowledge of the truth. And unless they do, the millions upon top of millions are going to be lost and go to hell. Well, what kind of a God is that? That doesn't even know his own people. That he depends upon poor, puny men to bring them out of the darkness into the marvelous light and telling them, this is the way. You do these things and all shall be well. I told this not too long ago here when I was a boy, a young little fellow. One of my brothers was considerably younger than I was. And we had been attending a revival meeting in our town. The whole town closed everything up for the benefit of this man who was thought he was preaching the truth. I remember, it's kind of funny to me, it seems now, that my father was building a large two, three, four-story building of whatever it was in town. And they were having their meetings at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they came over to my father, and he had a crew of men working on this building. And he came over to them and wanted to know if he wouldn't close down his job while they were having the service. And that service that this man was talking about, my father had no liking for it at all. He wasn't told. He didn't believe what this man was preaching. But he made this remark, I won't stop, but said, I'll tell the men not to strike too hard and make too much noise. Well, what I really started out to say was that this last day, last evening, that this revival meeting should be held, he stood up there, you know, and told how much good he'd done, how many people had joined the church there, and how many were saved. And then he implored them. He said, now all of you that have been brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, as I suppose he thought it was, when you get to heaven, I'd like for you to tell, I think he said, St. Peter, that I'm the man that brought you to know the truth. I'm the man that brought you out and caused you to become a Christian, some such language as that. Well, my brethren, that's about as far from being the truth as any man ever spoke of. Because God has not, he is not, and has never been beholden to men to go through the world, go out to the world, and urge them to believe in Jesus Christ. And if they will believe and accept him as their Savior, then all shall be well. Now, my brethren, all of those that the Father gave his Son Jesus Christ, they were his children. He gave them to Jesus. He sent Jesus here to redeem them from all their sins. And Jesus says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. So everyone that the Father gave unto his Son Jesus Christ are the very ones that he suffered, bled, and died upon the Roman cross. And none to be added to it, none to be subtracted from it, but the whole thing was so fixed in the eternal will and the purpose of our God that everyone that the Father loved before the world began, he brings by the unerring spirit which he sends into the hearts of his people, and that spirit whereby they are brought out of darkness into the marvelous light and given a hope of eternal life. Now, the things that Paul and Peter, James, John, and all the others preached, they preached the things that were delivered to them. They preached the things that God revealed to them. And the apostle, writing to the Galatians, he knew that some of the churches there had been overrun by those who did not know what the truth was. I'll read this. I am I, what he said. I used this for text somewhere recently, but I don't know where. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. There is but one gospel. And he goes on to say, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. If you have a hearing ear and an understanding heart, all you have to do is to turn your television on or your radio, whatever you listen to, and find out what they are preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who have not been taught of the Lord but preach just anything in the world, saying that God wants everybody to be saved, but there's some people that are just too stubborn. They won't believe. Well, my brethren, there's not a bit of truth in that at all. They're not just too stubborn, but because nobody can believe, nobody can be given a hope of eternal life, save those that God chose before the world began. Now, that's strong doctrine. That's strong medicine, I might say. But that is the truth, because Jesus Christ came here to do the Father's will. And the Father's will was, of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He didn't talk about any additions to it. All that the Father give me, they shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now the apostle said, but though we, now just after he said here, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, but though we, the apostle speaking, writing here, that though we are an angel from heaven. Well, what about an angel from heaven that he's talking about here? It said, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. My friends and my brethren, I say with all sincerity that the thousands upon top of thousands that who have perverted the gospel of the Son of God, and the apostle said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, is this the truth? Is this part of the things that God revealed in all scripture be given by the inspiration of God? If it is, my brethren, there are thousands upon top of thousands of people in this world today who have never been brought to know themselves as vile sinners, never been brought to know themselves as being a favorite of God. But they these who to go through the world, go out through the world. I read many years ago now, if I can just get a little bit of it in my mind, how that missionaries around before 1800 and sometime before that, why they went around to the heathen and they scared them half to death, told them that they were going to hell and all those things. But I've got a little ticket here. I've got a little piece of writing here, and it's just cost a little bit of money. And if you buy one of these, it'll ensure you're going to heaven. Well, is that scripture? Anything like that the truth? I say no. They might buy a whole lot, might give $1 million, and that wouldn't take a millionaire to heaven. Only those that Father loved before the world began and gave to his Son. And his Son came here into the world in obedience to the will of the Father. And he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he said, and one of the writers said, you know, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. In them ye think ye have eternal life. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm doing the very best I can, and I feel sure that if I continue to do the very best I can, the Lord will forgive what else is lacking in my life and my works, and all shall be well. My brethren, it takes a perfect obedience. And Jesus Christ was the only one that could give perfect obedience to his Father and die upon the cross and be raised from the dead as a glorious conqueror over death, over hell, and the grave. As I spoke the other day to some of those people I had no reason to believe that they, many of them knew what I was talking about. But my brethren, I wasn't quite satisfied as I felt in the way I presented things, because I had to speak plainly. Yes, about the resurrection. I had to speak plainly about the election of grace. I had to speak plainly, and I was sure, I felt sure that many didn't know what I was talking about. But I have no thought, brethren, of God being my helper. God enabled me to stand. I have no thought of turning around, turning a new leaf, or believing something else just because it's popular. I know that if I preach the gospel of the Son of God, if I preach the things that God delivered to me, and if I have been given a reasonable hope within me, then, my brethren, I'm not worried about what I preach if the Lord enables me to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, because he and he alone takes care of all of those outside of his people. And he's not worried about them. He gave his people to Jesus, his son, and Jesus saved them from all sin and all iniquity. Now, these are wonderful, these are glorious things. They're things that I wish I could just get right down to the bottom of them, and the Lord would enable me to preach that to all that the Father give me shall come unto me. That's what I do. That's what I preach. That's what I believe. Jesus said, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, my brethren, these are the ones, and these are the only ones. But it includes everyone that Father gave His Son Jesus Christ before the world began. And there will not be a single one of those that will be overlooked, forgotten. I said that shall not be saved with an everlasting salvation, because our God is perfect in all of His ways. Perfect in all of His ways. And He has so fixed it. And I've wondered at the love. I've tried to figure out. I've tried to think about. And how could I couldn't. You couldn't. We have one son, of course, and one daughter. But I couldn't give my son, or our son, under any circumstances, that he might, by laying down his life, save sinners. I couldn't do it. No, but God did. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love. God did this because of His will. It's His will to send His Son here in this world, and that He should suffer, bleed, and die. But He should be raised from the dead. That's the most wonderful part about it, the whole matter. We talked about, in the Old Testament, we talk about the things that God had done, and all of those things, the things that they promised, that should shortly come to pass after some centuries should come to pass. And we find, therefore, that the very promise of Jesus coming into the world was fully established in the teachings of Moses, who wrote as God moved him. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think. Yes, a lot of people think by searching the scriptures, they think they have eternal life. But they are they that testify of me. Well, what do they testify? God sent His Son here into the world to redeem all that the Father gave Him. Jesus knows His people. God knew His people. He was not too questionable at all about if this was one of His children, one of His children chosen by God the Father, given to His Son. No, but He loved His people, and He did not. I don't care how many would deny this. He did not send Jesus Christ here into the world to redeem all the world if the world would just simply believe. Because no man or woman can believe that Jesus is the Christ except that they'd be born to the Spirit of God. Now that's the truth. That's the scripture, brother. They can't believe those things. They can't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Take this, the occasion of the Apostle Paul. His soul, Tarsus he was. He didn't believe. He had nothing in the world in him that he could believe that Jesus was the Christ. And he did everything he could. He caused men to blaspheme. They caused men to be put to death. And all of these things. Saul of Tarsus still thought he was doing God's service, that he was going over to Damascus there and arrest those who call upon the name of Jesus, admitting that he was the Christ. He's going to bring them back to Jerusalem. And the Lord only knows what his intentions were, but they stoned Stephen to death, you know, because he testified of the wonderful and glorious things that God did in his son Jesus Christ. But none of them knew. None of them ever knew why Jesus came into the world, except the Lord's people. Except the Lord's people. Because God sent his son here to do a specific work, and his son knew just exactly what the Father sent him to do. Jesus said, I came not to do mine own will, as I put it, I believe, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will that sent me, the ball that he hath given me, I shall lose nothing. Oh, how I sometimes rejoice, my brethren, at a funeral, if I know the person who's lying in corpse there. How I rejoice to know that I feel that they have a hope. And if they have a hope of eternal life, then the Lord has revealed it to them, and it's a sure thing. All that the Father has given me shall come unto me. And so, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they're profitable, as I quoted. They're profitable for all of these things. But they're not profitable, my brethren. They're not supposed to be. God has never authorized any change whatsoever in any scripture that he caused and enabled his servants of old to write. He does not give permission. He does not call anybody to add to that number, but he, God, adds to that number only those generation after generation that he loved before the world began. And so, we here this morning, we're very few, of course, in comparison, but we know that something is taking place in our lives. We know that there's something that's wonderful that's taking place in our lives, and we felt to realize that it wasn't for me, but my brethren, God knows. God knew his people. He knows them today. And there's so many million of them, perhaps, today that have not yet been brought into the marvelous light, but God knows them. He sends his spirit into the heart. I believe there's a time that God uses, according to his will and purpose, that he sends forth his spirit into the hearts, one by one, of those that he loved. He gave his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came, and the Spirit takes the things of Christ and shows them, things of God, and shows them unto his people, and they rejoice. Don't you remember, my friend, I know you do, those of you who have been under the thing that the apostle said, you know, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh thee the reason of the hope that lies within you. And so if you are called upon, or if you try to think about the reason that you have a hope of eternal life, you would always remember that it wasn't by my studying, it wasn't merely just by reading the Bible, but because God sent forth his spirit into my heart when I didn't know a thing in the world about it until it was done. It wasn't because I began to pray, maybe, that he would, but he sends forth his spirit into his people's heart, causing them to realize that he is their God and that he is their Savior. And therefore, as he is both their God and their Savior, therefore he gave them all, every one of them, to Jesus. He didn't overlook anybody. I was foolish enough one time to try to consider how the Lord keeps books about his people. And he doesn't have to keep books. And Jesus said, "Thou the word thou gavest them me." He doesn't have to keep books and those things. But God knows his people one by one. He brings them out. Nothing else can bring them out but the Spirit of God. And God sends forth his spirit into the heart of a man that might live 1,000 miles from here, and if he's one of the children of God, God knows him, and he sends that spirit. I'm confident of this fact, my brethren, that God sends forth his spirit in the hearts of those that are in foreign countries, those that are living in slavery almost, and those who are being treated terribly over there, but if God has a person, a man, a woman, a child there, he knows it, he sends forth his spirit, and he speaks in the heart of that person, and he gives that person hope of eternal life, just the same as he does his people here. And so God knows his people. But all scripture given by inspiration. No man, I don't care, doesn't matter how educated he may be, how much philosophy he may know, it doesn't matter at all about that. He has no right, absolutely no right, to make any changes whatsoever in the scriptures that God gave by inspiration. They are the scriptures, these are the truth. And it isn't because men say, well, I make a little change here and it sounds a little bit better, not that. God makes it sound all right to a poor sinner when he brings them out of darkness and into the marvelous light and reveals Jesus Christ unto them as their Savior. God does this. It's done forever. Whatever he does is done forever. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, he said. And so, my brethren, these are wonderful things. I wish I had the Spirit of God that I might show how that God knows all of his people, that God sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of his people. He doesn't overlook one of them. He knows them all. Thine the word that Jesus said, thou gavest them me. I've loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore the loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jesus draws his people. God gave his people to his Son, Jesus Christ. Father, here they are, all that thou hast given me, of all thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. God hasn't lost a thing. Jesus hadn't lost a thing in this world. Not a thing. Because he knew the Father's will. The Father sent him here. And he did the will of the Father. And when I like to close with this thought, Jesus said, no, Father, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Glorify thy Son with the same glory that he had before the world began. And the Father's answer was, I have both glorified thee and will glorify thee. And so, my brethren, Jesus finished the work. He didn't forget anything. Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament, in the Psalms and all of those writings, he perfectly fulfilled every one of them. Father, I've finished the work. Isn't it wonderful? I've done work sometimes I never did finish. Building and so forth, I never finished. But Jesus, he finished the work. He knew the Father's will. He knew why he came here. And he didn't draw back. He didn't try to say, I don't want to do this at all. But he merely said, as he said, Father, if it is thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. May God be with you. Well, one of you brethren, wait on the congregation. While we do this, I want to make an announcement that Elder Spangler is expected to be with our church over there in Loudoun County called New Valley. Now, we hold meetings there only on the fifth Sundays, and this coming Sunday week will be the fifth Sunday. He's coming there, his granddaughter and her family, I believe that's the way right, and he has his grandson too. They will be visiting them, and he said he could be at the meeting, and we will be glad to have him. Now, Elder Spangler and I have been together for, well, perhaps 50 years, I don't know. We never had a quarrel. We saw eye to eye in out of publishing the Signs of the Times, and if there's any of you, all of you, that could feel to come, we'll give you the directions if you ask for them, and we will have services in the morning, and we expect to have lunch on the ground, and then Elder Spangler will go, I don't know just where, there because he has his children living in that vicinity back there. But everybody that feels to come are welcome to come, and he will preach as the Lord enables him to preach. That's the fifth Sunday morning. The meeting will begin at about 11 o'clock, and we'll be glad to have any of you and all of you that can come. Now, somebody have a hymn? Page 96. Yes, the first one on the page. That's the one. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and thus fulfill his word. Let us stand and sing, and while we sing, renounce an open door for reception and memory. I should make an announcement like this if I'm incorrect on it, or somebody will please correct me. We do not expect, or at least I do not expect, to be at Black Rock the next first Sunday. That's the time that I have been going to the Pig River Association for many long years. And I don't like to leave, but it's, I see my duty to do that at least at this time. Now, have you made any arrangements for any other? I don't know, I haven't heard of any, so I will make the announcement then, no meeting at Black Rock next first Sunday. Yes. Oh, yes, the first Sunday. Well, the second Sunday.
First Sunday.
Oh, that's right. We used to have them both on the same day. Then. All right, the brethren will be up at Rock Springs, and I'm sure that if any of you can go, they'll be glad to have you. Oh, Lord, we give thee thanks for the mercies that thou hast bestowed upon us, confessing that we are not worthy are receiving the very least of them. But thou hast brought us, Father, if we're not deceived out of darkness that's in our flesh into the marvelous light of the Son of God, giving us hope of eternal life. O Lord, leave us, not forsake us in this pilgrimage here that we have, that we may and bless us to look unto thee, to know that thou art ever mindful of thy people. Give us grace, Father, in thy name. Have all the praise, the honor, and the glory now and evermore. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.